Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, everyone. This is Evangelist August Rosado with Today in Bible Prophecy Ministry. I want to welcome you to our program as I am coming to you live from Johnstown, Pennsylvania, where I will be preaching tomorrow morning, May 17th, at the Faith Chapel Independent Baptist Church. And so I will be there live tomorrow morning, and if you live anywhere in the Johnstown area, we would love to have you come and join us as I will be preaching on current world events in light of biblical prophecy and the soon return of Jesus Christ and the next prophetic event on God's calendar that we call the rapture of the church of the living God. And so we would love to have you join us on this program. Join us at the Faith Chapel Independent Baptist Church tomorrow. And so we'd love to have you. But folks, I have as my special guest today, he's no stranger to any of you. His name is Dr. Todd Baker. He is the theologian consultant for Zola Levitt Ministries. He is also a missionary to the Jewish people, and I will be leaving with Todd in June for our missions trip to the Jewish people there in Israel, and I am really looking forward to being with him in June. However, I will be leaving for Israel Monday evening with this church I'll be preaching at tomorrow morning, and I'll have a little bit more to say about that. But without any further ado, what I want to do right now is get Todd Baker on the air. So let's see. Brother Todd, are you there?
I'm here, August.
Amen. Great to have Todd Baker back with us on the show. Now, Brother Todd, every Saturday, him and I, well, he calls me, and we get together in prayer, because what Brother Todd does and what I do, we find of extreme importance of getting the gospel to the Jewish people. And him and I are on the same page. We share the same burden, and we share the same passion of getting the gospel to the Jewish people. And folks, the basis of that is found in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16, where Paul the Apostle, Rabbi Shaul, said that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it is the power of God unto salvation. Yeah. Everyone who believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So, folks, I was tickled pink when Brother Todd asked me to go with him to Israel in June. And so we are looking forward to going there. We pray every single Saturday, both Todd and I, over the phone. We pray every Saturday for this missions outreach. And folks, not only, and many of you listen to our radio show every single week, not only do we first and foremost covet your prayers, but we also need your financial support. And so what I'm going to have Todd do right now is tell you exactly, if you feel the Lord has pressed upon your heart to send financial help, Todd right now is going to give you the website, the link where you can go to send your financial support in helping him and I and get the gospel to the Jewish people. So, Todd, tell them where they can send that support.
Amen, brother. Yes, we're looking forward to the 34th Gospel Outreach. Excited about, once again, not only giving a verbal witness about Yeshua being the Messiah from the proof of the fulfillment of first having messianic prophecies in the Tanakh, but also giving the Jewish people a complete Hebrew Bible, Old Testament and New Testament together in one bound volume in Hebrew, so they can read it in their own language like it should be read by them. Okay, yes, pull it up here. You can go to our website at searchthescripturesonline.org, and the menu is at the bottom of the screen. So you, once you get to our website, go to the bottom of the screen, and the menu down there, you'll want to click on Partner with Us. Partner with Us, and you can donate through PayPal, MasterCard, Visa, American Express, Discover, et cetera, et cetera. So you'll want to go to searchthescripturesonline.org and then go down to the menu at the bottom of the screen and click on Partner with Us. And then the rest is self-explanatory. But, we really need the support, because it's the support of the redeemed remnant of the church that enables us to follow the divine order for the Great Commission, which, as we have talked before on here and in private, has been largely ignored by the church.
Yes, that's exactly right. And folks, as Brother Todd was saying, this is this type of ministry outreach. And Todd and I are not tooting our own horn, and we're not giving ourselves a big fat pat on the shoulder. But Todd is right, is that the church, by and large today, has no type of program or any type of evangelistic outreach whatsoever to the Jewish people. And I've told Todd this many, many, many times over. You know, my travels all across the United States, I've been to missions conferences where they will send missionaries out to all parts of the world, but there is never any mention about sending missionaries to Israel. It's like it's off. The Jews. I mean, we can go to anybody else, but it's hands off to the Jewish people. And this is absolutely, it's sad, it's atrocious, and the church, Todd, is derelict in the direction to share the gospel with the Jewish people. Really no other way to say it.
Exactly. And why? Well, I think there are a variety of reasons as to why this has been a perennial problem in the church, probably since the 4th century, I'm thinking, but it's a problem, and this ministry is trying to wake up the church and make them aware of the crucial importance of Jewish evangelism, particularly in Israel today, as it takes on now a prophetic ramification in these last days. And Jesus said that before his return, that he will not go through all the cities of Israel until the Son of Man returns. So there's a direct link now with, in these last days, of Jewish evangelism being done in Israel with the Second Coming. So our goal is to reach every town, city, and village for the gospel.
Amen.
Before the Lord returns.
And, folks, that's going to be this upcoming May. I mean, this is going to be the 34th missions outreach to Israel. Todd and I will be leaving June the 14th and coming back July the 1st. We need your prayers, and we need your financial support. So Todd gave you the website.
Amen.
searchthescripturesonline.org. searchthescripturesonline.org. Go to the webpage, and whatever the Lord is leading you to do, whether your gift is big or whether it's small, any little thing helps to get Todd and I there to Israel. We have Hebrew Bibles that we're going to be passing out and going one-on-one in our witnesses.
Amen.
And plus, it'll give you an opportunity, folks, all of you listening right now, it'll give you an opportunity to get to know Dr. Baker's ministry better, what he does. He is the pastor of a Messianic congregation there. In Dallas, Shalom congregation, founded by my mentor, the late Dr. Zola Levitt. And so Todd is carrying on that work over there. He's a great man of God. I always enjoy fellowshipping with him, my wife and I, whenever we're down there in Dallas. And I'm just looking forward to going to Israel with him in June. Just him and I, no tour group, no sightseeing, no touring. We're just going there to share the gospel of Yeshua HaMashiach with the Jewish people. So I hope and pray that all of you listening would come on board with us and have a hand in reaching out to the Jewish people. So again, visit his website, searchthescripturesonline.org. Now, Brother Todd, I told you before the program when I called you that there was a topic that I wanted to talk about. I'm not surprised by the recent developments that took place in the Vatican. The Vatican has officially recognized a Palestinian state. Now, I'll tell you this, folks. We're not attacking anybody personally, but I will tell you this. Todd and I are going to seriously attack philosophies on this program, and that is the philosophies of the Vatican and Roman Catholicism, because the Vatican has once again displayed an ignorance of the scriptures and God's program for the Jewish people, because the Vatican has recognized officially a Palestinian state within the democratic Jewish state of Israel. And this was by Mr. Francis, you call him Pope. He met with Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, who I think is a terrorist behind the scenes.
Absolutely.
He's a Palestinian state. Todd, would you please tell our people what in the world is wrong with this picture?
Well, first of all, Mahmoud Abbas was a terrorist strategist. He didn't actually go and blow people up, but he planned and funded the terrorists working for the PLO. He was a top political strategist for Yasser Arafat, arch terrorist against Israel and founder and president of the PLO. So Mahmoud Abbas is not a man of peace. He uses such a ruse, as did his former and late boss Yasser Arafat, to deceive the West and reassure the Arab world that such a ruse will be used to deceive Israel and the West into this false peace. And then once they've lulled Israel into a false peace, then later on come up with a pretense to attack them. And they're following the same philosophy as the founder of their religion, Muhammad. And it's a well-known deceptive tactic. Furthermore, Mahmoud Abbas financed the Munich massacre that occurred at the Munich Olympic Games in 1972. Although after the attack was done, he claims that he didn't know the money's intended purpose. Sure, right.
So what you're saying, Todd, is that Mahmoud Abbas was the one responsible for funding the Munich terrorist attack at the Olympics in 1972 upon the Israelis.
Right, and you can find that on Wikipedia. But he claimed that he didn't know that the money was going to be used for that after the fact, which, you know, that's given his history of anti-Israel activities, I find it very hard to believe. Second of all, like Arafat, he's been embezzling billions of dollars. His sons are filthy rich beyond belief, which again suggests that they are spreading the wealth among his own family. And he is a man that is not for peace. He, like his predecessor before him, wants to pretend to have peace with Israel. And once that falls into place, then, of course, take Israel piece by piece. The Pope not only recognized the unbiblical state of Palestine that would divide up the land of Israel and give the heartland, the breadbasket of Israel, Judea and Samaria, to the Palestinians, but he also called him, in his recent visit with him, the Pope called Mahmoud Abbas, quote, an angel of peace, unquote. Can you believe that?
That is just totally...
Total lack of discernment. He's totally deceived. And he has no regard, I'm talking about the Pope now, he has no regard for the eternal covenant God made with Abraham and his physical descendants, the Jews, concerning giving them the land of Israel. which God said in Genesis 17, 7 and 8, is a Berit Olam. It's an eternal covenant. And he gives the land to them in that same chapter and verses. He gives them the land for, quote, an everlasting possession, unquote. So the land proposal for a state of Palestine by dividing up Israel, does that fall within the divine boundaries given in God's land grant to the Jewish people? Absolutely. Absolutely. You look at the first time the God-given boundaries of the land of Israel are given are in Genesis 15, 18, where God says to your, well, actually verse 18, on the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants, I have given you this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river of Euphrates. Now, some believe that the river of Egypt is a small stream south of Gaza known as Wadi al-Arish. Some others believe it's Nile. But the point is, regardless, the point is that the land that the Palestinians want for their own so-called state is dead center of the land grant and the boundaries God defined when he gave the land to Israel for an everlasting possession. So this is totally unbiblical. The Pope has no regard, nor belief, might I say, in the Word of God and God's land covenant that he's made with Israel. And it's just another example out of many how Rome completely and patently contradicts the Word of God.
This is what we're, and folks, this is what we're going to get into today, because, I mean, you know, let's go back to Mahmoud Abbas. Why does the world swallow the lie of these people, these propagandists who make up stories as they go along? You know, it's like Mahmoud Abbas going to a filthy, dirty, malaria-filled swamp, taking a dirty a cup of water, filtering it through a fishnet into another glass of water, and say, look, pure spring water. Why do we buy the lies of these individuals? When this first surfaced, Prime Minister Netanyahu said that the move on the part of the Vatican was not conducive to peace, and it is encouraging the Palestinians not to negotiate with Israel. And as Todd said, this move by the Vatican shows that, of course, the status quo has never changed. They are anti-Semitic. They embrace replacement theology, and they have no regard whatsoever for the scriptures concerning the land that God gave to the Jewish people. And Todd, you just quoted it right here. Genesis 15:18, in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And, you know, Todd, I'd like to use Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 35 through 37, where God makes it clear that the only way that you can annihilate the Jews, that they would cease from becoming a nation, is that if you can do away with the ordinance of the sun and the moon. And we know that from a human's perspective, that is just totally impossible. I mean, if you want to destroy Israel, then you have to do away with the ordinance of the sun and the ordinance of the moon. Now, only God can do something like that, but man can't do that. And so I guess the point of Jeremiah is simply this. It's impossible for man to do away with the ordinance of the moon and the ordinance of the sun. So what is that telling us, Todd?
Well, it tells us that as long as God exists eternally, so will the people of Israel since their inception. And furthermore, if anyone were to say, well, look, you guys, you're quoting from the Old Testament. We're living in the New Testament era.
Oh,
well, remember that Jesus did tell the disciples that they will be sitting on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, where is that going to be? That's not going to be in some netherworld. That's going to be here on earth. During the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ, and he will reign from Jerusalem. Furthermore, in Ezekiel 47:13 to 48:35, guess what? We have the division of the land during the future 1,000-year kingdom of Messiah Jesus on earth. And guess what? It lines up with what we read in Genesis 15:18, although it's the borders are more specified in Ezekiel 47:48. So God hasn't changed his mind, and he's regathering Israel for two main purposes, for their future redemption when Messiah comes back, actually three. In the present time, he's regathering them so that they can hear the gospel, come to know Yeshua the Messiah through ministries like ours, if I may be so bold. And then he's preparing them for the return of Messiah Jesus. And then third, he will restore to them and keep the land covenant that he promised Abraham. You know, those boundaries have never been met in the history of Israel, not even during Solomon's time. Now, Solomon had satraps from Egypt to the Nile, who were tributaries actually taking taxes, but Israel's never fully extended as a nation, country, and state and realized those boundaries, and they won't until the return of Yeshua. So those boundaries are still solidified, they're still in place, nobody's removed them. So when you try to create a Palestinian state right smack dab in the middle of those God-given boundaries for Israel, you are dividing the land, you are violating God's covenant, and guess what, brother? You fall under the judgment of God, according to Joel 3:1-3, where God says he will judge the nations for scattering his people and dividing the land. And so now the Vatican has officially placed themselves under the judgment of God revealed in Joel 3:1-3, because they are for now, and they've always been, therefore dividing the land and giving it to the enemies of Israel. I find it interesting that the Vatican said it had expressed, quote, great satisfaction, unquote, over the new treaty during the talks with the Palestinian delegation. They went on to say, to this end, the wish was reiterated that, well, it's the Vatican Secretary of State expressed hopes that direct peace talks with Israel would resume. Now, I'm not saying the Pope is the Antichrist. I think he is a Antichrist. But
yeah,
if he starts, you know, suing for some type of peace treaty, and I think the rapture will occur before the 7-year peace treaty occurs, of course, but delineating or defining a certain number of years for that peace treaty, look out, you know. We do know the Antichrist will come from Rome, or Daniel 9:26,
yes.
The people of the prince that shall come and destroy the city and the sanctuary, so forth. And then the same prince will sign a 7-year treaty. So either way, we know that the Vatican and the Roman Catholic Church is a player in end time Bible prophecy.
Oh yeah, they're a major, and I've always taught that, Todd. They are a major player in end time prophecy. You know, I'm looking at Genesis 17:8, where it says, "And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting." That is the Hebrew olam.
Amen.
Everlasting possession, and I will be their God. I'm also reading, Brother Todd, in Genesis chapter 24 and verse number 7. I mean, how clear does God have to be here? In verse number 7, it says, "The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land." Now, Todd, there are 38 passages in the Bible that deal with Israel's borders. Now, we know that today Israel roughly possesses 10% of the original land grant that God has given them. But we know that in the future, under the reign of Yeshua the Messiah, they will possess all of that land grant. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean-spirited here, but Todd, how stupid can somebody be? I mean,
well,
right,
this is what happens. Yeah, you know, I've written a book on Roman Catholicism, a biblical and historical critique on Roman Catholicism, which is available on Amazon. It's called Exodus from Rome, Volume 1, and I'm currently working on Volume 2. This is just a small part of a very serious departure from not only the Word of God by Rome, but also the biblical gospel. and they replace salvation by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone by a works plus faith sacramental system. So, in other words, in order to maintain or be in a state of grace, you have to receive and participate in the sacraments of Roman Catholicism, starting with infant baptism, and then receiving communion at Mass, going to confession, confessing your sins to a priest, being confirmed in the Roman Catholic Church, and then when you're near death, having the anointing of the sick ministered by a priest and so forth. So, again, this is the gospel of works plus faith sacramentalism of Rome, which is not biblical. And
yeah.
You do know that the Counter-Reformation Council, called the Council of Trent, anathematized Jesus, Paul, and the whole New Testament when it said, whoever says one is justified, let him be anathema. Well, I got news for you. God's already pronounced an anathema on Rome and others who deny that salvation is by faith alone, as Paul said twice in Galatians 1, 7 and 8. So that the book that I wrote is available on Amazon. It's also available through our ministry, but I don't want to get too much off topic, but I was in the Roman Catholic system for 18 years and was a former candidate for the Roman Catholic priesthood. And my book objectively and honestly examines the grandiose claims of the papacy and the Roman Catholic Church in the vital and critical light of Scripture and the evidence of history to show the reader where Rome and Catholicism has greatly erred. So I'm working on Volume 2 right now, but Volume 1 is available for your listeners if they're interested.
Folks, please get a copy of Dr. Todd Baker's book, Exodus from Rome. You, like you said, you can get it from Amazon or go to their ministry on their website, search the scriptures online.org. Maybe you know somebody involved in Catholicism. That would be a book that you can get into their hands and let them read that book. What I want to do, Todd, is I want to get back to the original land grant, the original
okay.
land grant that God gave to the Jewish people. Now, reading from Genesis chapter 15, verse 18, it makes it very clear that God gave the land to the Jewish people from the river Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, from the south of Egypt, some would say the Nile River, all the way to the Euphrates River, which would have been the northeastern boundary of the promised land grant given to Israel. Now, if I understand Scripture correctly, that all belongs to the Jewish people. That is the land mass.
Yes,
that
it is.
God gave to the Jewish people. I mean, that is a land mass. We're talking from the Nile of Egypt to the
yep.
river Euphrates. Now, one prophecy preacher, and let me see if you can confirm this, Todd. One prophecy teacher, is a really solid prophecy teacher, said that when he looked at the original land grant that God gave the Jewish people, this is how he sees it. He says he sees it from the Nile River in Egypt, then it goes all the way to the northeast to the Euphrates River. That's in modern-day Iraq today. Then he says it takes a southeastern drop, taking in all of Syria, all of Jordan, three-fourths of Iraq, all of Kuwait. Then it takes a bend around the Persian Gulf and takes in three-fourths of Saudi Arabia. So what he's saying is that the original land grant that God gave the Jews is half of Egypt, all of Israel, all of Lebanon, all of Syria, three-fourths of Iraq, all of Jordan, all of Kuwait, and three-fourths of Saudi Arabia. He says that all belongs to the Jewish people. Would that seem correct to you?
Yeah, that's generally true. He covers, I think, roughly about 1,500 square miles, not square miles, about 1,500 miles when you factor it all in. You might have a different figure. But also, that includes Gaza, which I was against Israel giving up in 2006. That was another act that they did that was contrary to the covenant and the word of God for their the land that they live in. So it is a large swath of land, no doubt, and it does indeed cover all the land that's in dispute in the so-called occupied territories, which is
so-called
such a misnomer.
Occupied, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make sure we make that clear. It's so-called occupied territory because the only people who are occupying the land now are the Palestinians. They're the ones that are the occupiers, not the Jews. The Palestinians are the ones that are the occupiers. God promised in the land covenant that he has given the Jewish people all this land and taught to say that God has given this land to someone else other than the Jewish people is not on biblical grounds. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Also, I might add that when you look at the borders of the land given in Ezekiel 47:13 through 48, that you have it a further enlargement of the land of Canaan than those given to Moses in Numbers 34:1-15, and the final land boundaries given for the millennial kingdom for Israel also is different. Differs from the occupation in Joshua's day. So, again, the point here being that the complete fulfillment for the promise of the land in the Abrahamic covenant still awaits future fulfillment, and we'll find that fulfillment when Yeshua the Messiah returns.
Yeah, Israel is going to possess all of that original land grant when the Messiah of Israel, Yeshua, the Lord Jesus himself, is one day physically and bodily reigning on this earth. And
so, amen.
What the Vatican says, and they're absolutely wrong, and they are not on biblical grounds. And Todd, I'm not telling you nothing new. The Vatican has had a history of anti-Semitism and hands full of blood in murdering Jews and Bible-believing men of God who spoke against the false doctrine.
Well, you know, brother, I do believe. I'm with Tim LaHaye on this. I do believe that Revelation 17 is talking about papal Rome. And I do believe that Revelation 18 is talking about commercial Babylon. He makes a difference between the two. And I think I would have to agree with him there because people who say that commercial Babylon is one and the same in Revelation chapter 17 and 18, I would like to ask them, okay, since when did a commercial Babylon murder the saints, and so much so that the blood flows copiously, as John tells us in Revelation 17. The only other entity that I know of that does incorporate the pagan mystery rites of Babylon under the superficial semblance of Christianity would be Rome, and they do have blood on their hands. The Spanish Inquisition that lasted for almost 1,000 years, killing millions of people. That right there, I think, identifies them as the great whore of Revelation 17. Now, this is not a popular view, and I'm going to be accused of being anti-Catholic. Look, there are Catholic people in that system who are saved, that trust in Jesus alone. But at the same time, they are teaching their people that faith in Jesus Christ alone, by his grace alone, is not enough. And that strikes very hard of what the gospel is as it is defined in the Word of God.
Yeah, folks, I would agree with Dr. Todd Baker on this. I do believe that Revelation 7, and again, it's not a popular view among Catholics, but, and again, we're not attacking anybody personally, okay? Todd and I want to make that very clear. But
we're attacking the religious system. We're not attacking the precious Roman Catholic people.
Exactly. So we want to make that very, very clear to all of our listeners today. But we are attacking false doctrine, and we are attacking philosophies of Roman Catholicism that has deceived the people over many years. And to say that God has given this land to someone else other than the Jewish people is absolutely wrong, and it's not biblical. And by the Vatican recognizing a Palestinian state flies in the face of God's inspired inerrant, authoritative.
Amen.
Where now people, you know, how, you guys know for sure that Revelation 17 is talking about Roman Catholicism. Well, as far as my studies go, 4,000 years ago, Nimrod established a false religion in Genesis 11 on the shores of the Euphrates River, modern-day Iraq today. He established a religion of the mother-son cult of Semiramis and Tammuz. You know, she was called the Queen of Heaven in the Bible in Jeremiah chapter 7 and chapter 44. And, of course, their son Tammuz can be found in Ezekiel chapter 8. And this mother-son cult has found its way into many cultures and religions today, like Ashtaroth and Baal in the Canaanite religion, Aphrodite and Eros, Venus and Cupid in the Greek culture, and the Madonna child in Roman Catholicism. And we know that when God destroyed Nimrod's kingdom, that mother-son cult moved to a New Testament city in Revelation chapter 2, verse 13, called Pergamos. And Todd, as you well know, it was there in Pergamos that they began to deify the Roman emperors, walking around in fish-shaped hats with these long robes.
That's
with
true.
Old stones.
Hey God, the fish
hats.
God, yeah.
They were walking around with
yes.
fish-shaped hats. And they had a name. They had a name that was called Pontifex Maximus. But that was so long that they had to shorten it to Pontiff. But then
Pontiff, yes, I cover that. Yeah, I cover that in my book, chapter on the
read
page.
That in Todd's book, folks. Read it in Todd's book. And
yeah,
and the Pope.
And might I also add, brother, that that the whole idea of eating your God through bread, that God inhabits the bread, also came from the mystery religion of Egypt, particularly that dealt with the worship of Osiris, the sun god. You know, the Roman Catholic Church twists John 6 to try to justify transubstantiation, the belief that the priest has the power to change the communion elements in the Lord's Supper, the bread and wine, into the literal flesh, blood, body, deity. Yes, you heard me right, deity and soul of Jesus Christ. And once that host, once that communion wafer becomes consecrated by the priest at the Mass, that host now becomes God Almighty in that piece of bread, and Catholics are told to pray to this consecrated host. It's called the Blessed Eucharist. And so in some churches every week, I believe on Saturday, they will place this communion wafer in what's called a monstrance and place it on the altar, and Catholics are told to pray to this piece of bread now that it has turned into Jesus. And it's idolatry, and it's nothing more than a wafer god, and it's total blasphemy. But again, I provide, I think, about a 30-page exposition, on John 6, taking it verse by verse and showing you there that Jesus was talking in spiritual/symbolic terms when he said, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. He was not endorsing a crude,
exactly,
literal cannibalism there.
Exactly.
For several reasons.
We got about 6 minutes left in the show. What I would like to, oh, by the way, to finish the one thought that I had, that New Testament town of Pergamos in Revelation 2:13, where Jesus had Satan's throne.
The seat of Satan.
That New Testament city was destroyed, and that mother-son cult moved to a seven-built city today called Rome. So let me tell you something. If it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, then it must be a stinking duck. And all you got to do is go to Revelation chapter number 17, and you can clearly see where this false church is located today. So that's why I recommend you get Todd Baker's book, Exodus from Rome. So, Todd, as we bring this broadcast to a close, we've got about 5 minutes left to solve. Briefly, how can somebody come out of the false teachings of Catholicism and have that personal born-again relationship with Jesus Christ?
Well, they need to realize that the death of Jesus Christ is finished. The writer of Hebrews says over and over again that Jesus Christ's perfect eternal sacrifice for sin was once for all and never can be repeated again. So this whole idea that the sacrifice of Jesus is perpetuated, represented in the Mass is blasphemous. They can have complete, total, and irreversible salvation now because Jesus has paid the price with his redemptive death on the cross. And he vouchsafed such a perfect payment when he cried triumphantly, "Tetelestai, it is finished." That's the Greek word, which is a commercial transaction that was used in the Greco-Roman world, meaning the debt has been paid. Jesus paid our moral debt to God on the cross. So all the Catholic or any other person has to do is accept the perfect work of Christ's cross, no more, no less, for his salvation, believing that Jesus alone saved him when he shed his precious blood for the sinner on the cross. And when he does receive Christ's payment on the cross alone for his sin, and trust in that alone, the scripture says, he will be saved. And the Word of God tells us in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "For by grace, God's unmerited favor, we cannot earn it or deserve it, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast." So it's not faith plus works, it's not works, it's faith alone in the finished work of Christ's cross on Calvary that saves us. The Catholic realizes that grand gospel truth and places his trust in Christ alone for salvation, then the scripture says he will be saved.
Well, there it is right there. Religion may take you to church, but Jesus Christ will take you to heaven. And there's only one way, Father. It's not through a pope. It's not through any other type of religious figure out there. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not say he was one of many ways or a way. He said he was the way, John 14:6. And so if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, call upon the name of the Lord, Romans 10:13, and ye shall be saved. Folks, you've been listening to my good friend, Dr. Todd Baker. And if you want to get a hold of him, or maybe you might have more questions for him, or you want to know more about that book, Exodus from Rome, or to simply send financial help in our 34th missions outreach to the Jewish people in Israel, go to his website, search the scriptures, online.org. And when you're there, sign up for his newsletter and, get to know Todd a little bit better. He's a great man of God. I really appreciate him. And so get to know their ministry, get to know him a little bit better. And Todd, thank you so much for being on the show today. We cannot wait to have you back on, brother.
You too, brother, and enjoy your 8-day trip to Israel. And by the time you come back, we'll be ready to embark on the 34th Gospel Outreach. And the Bibles, I wanted to tell you that the Bibles will be delivered to our hotel, and will be there for us waiting. We're going to get 65 to 70 Hebrew Bibles, so...
Amen.
I'm excited, brother.
Brother, I am excited to go there with you in June. We are looking forward to it, and I appreciate you, Brother Todd, and we can't wait to have you back on the program soon. But I'll be talking to you later on tonight as we get together for prayer about the 34th Missions Outreach. And so we're looking forward to that, brother. Appreciate you. Appreciate your ministry. And, brother, we will be talking to you in a little while.
Okay, brother. Thank you. God bless.
God bless you too, Brother Todd. Folks, you've been listening to my interview with Dr. Todd Baker. I'll be leaving for Israel Monday, so there's no program next Saturday. And so please pray for me as we leave for Israel, and we will talk to you soon. This is August Rosado of the Daily Bible Prophecy Ministry saying, keep looking up. Jesus is coming home.